Blog Talk Radio.
Keep knocked out silent, so y'all quiet.
With your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahuwah's radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. Yahuwah's radio, Yahuwah's ministry. I be your host by name, your Seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Unlocking Biblical Mysteries of the Bible by Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of YHDH. Featuring the six anointed camps of Voices of the True Israelites. And before I jump in things, Brother Yahdai Israel, I want you to look up a name and make sure we on page. Look up a name there, Brother Yahdai Israel. His name is Rabbi Reuben Firestone. Reuben, same Reuben is in Genesis, Exodus 1:1, the firstborn son of Israel. His name is Rabbi Reuben. Before I make any more statements on him, I want to make sure he's legit, and then we'll be able to put together exactly what he got to say pertaining to what, whatever. His name is Rabbi Reuben Firestone, F-I-R-E-S-T-O-N-E. Have him be penned him down for me there, brother. Y'all got here. It's where I try to organize my end. That's what we got to do on my part. And then we'll see if we can get something going on. So y'all probably beat y'all. This is another episode, part number 11. But we want to find out something about the rabbi. I want to make sure he's legit, and then we'll tell you from there, no doubt about it. All right. So we're going to start out on the international side and see who all join us for another episode. Another episode of Voices of the True Israelite, Six Anointed Camps trying to do their part and just ask the Almighty Yahweh. And it reads on the international side, all the slots are filled. And one thing about it, see, right, when all the spots are filled, because one thing about it, the world's alarm goes off when we on the network. But we got those that's in the class of the Six Anointed Camps, they'll find something else to be doing instead of, if they're about this man's business, let's go. Let's wake it up, shake them up, and let's get something going on, because one thing about it, is on, and those that gonna know is on will step to the plate, and you will see them by stepping up to the plate the way the Bible tells you step up to the plate body wise. Might read a little bit of that too. We don't know. We don't know exactly what we're gonna do, but I tell you one thing, we're gonna do it. And I'm very interested in hearing what the rabbi got to say. After we all can hear it together, after we make sure he's legit. So as we see all the stocks are still 195 international countries, what's flashing on the international side is 112575. We got a memo saying Mr. Tibbs will be a few minutes late. So Mr. Tibbs going to be a few minutes late there, Brother Yagdai Israel. I'll tell you what, since we know Mr. Tibbs going to be a few minutes late, and that gives me the opportunity to do all that I can do on what I'm getting ready to do. Then we get something going on. Brother Yagdai Israel, let's talk for a minute there, Brother Yagdai Israel. Let's do a little talking first. We want to make sure that if anybody that carries the name of Rabbi Reuben Firestone, can you give me any information on Rabbi Reuben Firestone? Remember, like, you know, our logo is what we can read. Come on. Brother Yagdai Israel? Brother Yagdai Israel. Is everything going right? Who mute you? Who not? I don't know. Brother Yagdai Israel. Yakwa bitch, you see right. Brother Yagdai Israel, Yahweh business, see, right? Is anything going on I need to know? I don't know. Let me check down with Mother Z and make sure we are is being heard. Let me make sure. Mother Z, Israel, Yahweh business, see, right?
Yahweh bless and keep you, see, Israel, or all you see. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Well, I'm trying to get Brother Yagdai Israel, and I see now that means one thing about it. You gave me a radio check that we all good. Let me go back and see if I find Brother Yagdai Israel again and see what's going on here. Let's see what's going on with Brother Yagdai Israel. Okay, one more time. Thank you there, Mother Z. Brother Yagdai Israel, Yahweh bid you to see right. going on. What, WCC, isn't there you can make adjustments? I can't hear him. I can't hear him, and I want to start the broadcast now, WCC. But we have to make some arrangements. We gotta make a little arrangement first. Is there anything you can do to get Brother Yacht Dog's microphone going on?
Israelites, with your host, the seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
All right, live broadcast. We want to come back to see if we find Brother Yahdai Israel. And I did want to not only read, because it's a memo sent to sent this way, but it's also a voice mail. So we want to make sure before we get to talking real good, we got Brother Yahdai Israel can bear witness that when we get ready to play and look at this memo, it got some juice to it. It's nobody clanking around. So Brother Yahdai Israel, before we get off into the loop trail and all that good stuff, I want to make sure we are on one page. Brother Yahdai Israel, Yahweh be your seed royal.
Yahweh bless you, see Israel, a seed royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Like I said, I got an interesting memo here that was sent, as we are, and plus it's not on it, it's on the international line too, so I want to make sure, do Rabbi Reuben Firestone, is he what he say he is that you can read? So, our motto is, if we can read it, we'll go with it. If we can't read it, we ain't guessing at nothing. Can you tell me, can you put up anything on Rabbi Reuben Firestone? What you got there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Yeah, I'm looking at an article from the Torah.com, and it reads, Professor Rabbi Reuben Firestone, Hebrew Union College, Jewish Institution of Religion. Professor Rabbi Reuben Firestone is a Regenist professor in medieval Judaism, Islam at the Hebrew Union College, Jewish Institute of Religion.
So, with that great big long resume, Brother Yahdai Israel, would you say that he's a authority on whatever come out of his mouth? So, which according to his resume, would that put him as an authority according to Jewish and Islamic understanding, according to his resume? Let's talk about it for a minute, Brother Yahdai Israel.
Hallelujah, Kwa. Absolutely.
So, absolutely, this man is a, he know what he's talking about, right? You know, see, we have a tendency to, you can look right at the, you know, and we got to hear a second opinion from somebody else, then we can really say, oh, you know, like at 10 o'clock news with Peggy Flynn come on and they say such thing that we be saying all the time. Oh, see, now the phone calls are ringing everywhere. So now, one more time, this Rabbi Reuben Firestone, he got some credentials. Is that right? And what he got credentials in again?
It reads, Professor Rabbi Reuben Firestone is a Regenstein professor in medieval Judaism, Islam at the Hebrew Union College, Jewish Institute of Religion.
So now, what would you say when it comes down to him talking to the ones that he are addressing? Would the ones that the two backgrounds you just mentioned, they highly esteem them. So would you say when he talk, the world listen? I mean, you know, on their perspective. What do you say about that?
Hallelujah, Kwa. He got big names behind it. I mean, he got big titles behind his name. Hallelujah, Kwa.
Hallelujah, Kwa. Big title behind his name. Okay, let's hear. I got the memo on it, so you already say he's headquarters everywhere, but University of Southern California, he got it all going on. So let's hear. Let me see if I hit this answer machine and hear the message that he left for the six anointed camps of voices of the true Israelite. Let's see if we hear what he got to say to the voices of the true Israelite. Let's see.
It's also telling because by knowing the name of the God, oh, this is really fun. By knowing the name of the God, it says something about the relationship between the community and the God or the power that is in relationship with that community. What does it say? It says that there was more equality in the relationship than there would be if you had a relationship with a God whose name you didn't know. What does that mean? It's the psychology of knowing names. You know, have you ever been to a party and somebody knows your name and you don't know their name, you feel very much at a disadvantage? Yeah? Or you're dumb enough to walk down the street with a cap that had your name on it and somebody you didn't know, like what happened to me when I was really nerdy. I mean, I got over it, right? The nerdy part, I think. I walked down the street and somebody says, "Hey, Reuben." Oh, and I don't know who the guy was. He was bigger than me, and he made fun of me because I had a name on my cap. I felt really stupid because he had a certain power over me because he knew my name. I didn't know his name. There is a sense of relationship and connection of knowing names and knowing identification. In many cultures, baby children are not named until after they become viable. So that's so that the angel of death or the evil powers may not get them. So there is a sense of knowing names. The name of the God of Israel was made of four letters that we do not know how to pronounce in the Jewish world. Some Christian communities pronounce it Yahweh, right, or Jehovah. But what that really is talking about, what that is conveying, is that in the ancient world, the Israelites knew the name of their God, just like the Moabites and the Ammonites knew the names for their gods. But when at some point in history, the Israelites made a transition from a polytheistic relationship with a limited God to a sense of a universal, all-powerful, all-knowing God, it was impossible, it was inconceivable that they should know the name. You know, we don't know the name of God in the Islamic tradition either. It's just Allah simply means the God. It's not Frank, not Jim, not Penelope, right? So that seems to be indicative of that change. Now, if you don't believe me, and it's okay for you not to believe me, it's okay for you to be wrong. I'm continuing on this motif earlier. Let's turn to the next item on page 2, 2 Kings. I'm just going to read you the first couple of verses here. This is a statement about the reforms that were made by a king named Josiah. He destroyed all of the idols that were being worshipped in Jerusalem by the Israelites because he was a real staunch supporter of monotheism. Then the king ordered the high priest, Hilkiah, the priest of the second rank and the guards of the threshold, to bring out of the temple of the Lord, this is yet, all of the objects made for Baal and Asherah. These were God, that was a god and goddess, and all the hosts of heaven. He burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron. He removed the ashes to Bethel. He suppressed the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had appointed to make offerings at the shrines in the towns of Judah and in the environs of Jerusalem. And those who made offerings to Baal, to the sun and moon and constellations, all the hosts of heaven. It goes on. There's a lot more. So Israel, this community, was the first community to make a successful transition from polytheism to monotheism. And Israel, and Israelites, eventually Jews, were associated with monotheism. They were the founders of monotheism. Now, there's evidence, by the way, that there may have been other communities that were monotheist even before Israel, or maybe proto-monotheist or nearly monotheist. One option is in Egypt, Akhenaten, who was probably at least a proto-monotheist, but it didn't survive. The idea didn't hold out. Israelites were the ones that were able to make it work and kept to it. And so the Israelites made that transition to monotheism. There's one thing I neglected to tell you in this story, and that is that when you have a personal relationship with a tribal god, you have a very special relationship. It's like we're made for each other. Your god helps you. When you go into battle against your nasty neighbors who live on the other side of the river and are peeing upstream, your god goes into battle with you. And their god goes into battle with them. And the more powerful god, or the better god, or the god who is better fed by his community through sacrifices, is the God that prevails. So there's a sense of intimacy between the community and its God. The community probably really loves its God as well as it probably fears its God. And that is a relationship that I describe as chosenness. It was like we were chosen for each other. It's an intimacy. Now, the Israelites had that notion with their God. And although we have no written evidence that the Moabites or the Ammonites or the Ashdodians or the Philistines, they never wrote, we are the chosen people, that we have found in any text so far. I am extrapolating. I assume that probably everybody in the ancient Near East had this sense of chosen relationship with their own God. Israel retained that sense of personal relationship with the God of Israel, because it's called the God of Israel in the Torah, when it made that transition to monotheism. So it associated its once tribal God, now the God of the universe, who is the God of all, with a special intimate relationship. It's an accident of history. Because how could the God of the universe also have a chosen relationship with one small people. It doesn't make sense. And yet it's so deeply embedded in the culture of ancient Israel that they couldn't let it go, even though they're
rare. Let's talk about that for a minute. What did you hear on what you just hear about? What was his name again?
Professor Reuben Firestone.
Mm-hmm. And you say his credentials is walk listening to it. Is that right?
Yeah, according to what the world say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Got them big titles and, behind it.
And what did he say that piqued your interest? That he said in on the Alpha Chain. What piqued your interest, there, bro? Y'all die as
well. Well, if I was listening closely enough, I think I heard say that the only one that really held to their power, they most high, was Israel. That what piqued my interest.
and what piqued my interest, he said, the only one have interest is the one that got the four letter man.
That's
what
right.
Piqued my interest is when he said that the one that Israel knew who they call on, because
right.
They call on the one that got the four letters. Now, so that's who Israel called on. And he said he was the four-letter man of the universe of Israel, that little small community.
Mm.
That's what I thought it. So that's what we keep saying. Maybe if somebody else tell you. Now, this is he's a rabbi of highest of Judaism, highest of Islam, long background saying the people of the book call on the one name, I-H-W-H. Now, that's what he said. So keep that in your mind, Cedric, as we unlock why we use the one name. Maybe when we tell you, you will take a little look at it sideways. But here's go a big dignitary that is over them at his university of Islam and Judaism. He's a spokesman for them, and he said, the Israelites of the Bible call on four letters, YHWH, which us Jewish people cannot pronounce. So you see that thing right? That's what I got out of it. So we'll be that like it is in Brother Yahdan Israel, or do I need to play it one more time just to make sure we heard what we heard one more time on Alpha Chain? What do you think about Brother Yahdan Israel?
Yeah, one more time. I'm going to take notes.
All right. Now, one more time. See, now the six anointed camps, take great notes. Now, take great notes. And now, but first of all, who is this guy again? His name is, who is he again? His name is, what's his name there, Brother Yahdan Israel?
Professor Rabbi Reuben Firestone.
Uh-huh. And what is he professor of?
He's, medieval Judaism, Islam.
So he specialized in medieval. That means so he can come from the Middle Ages. That's all medieval means. The Middle Ages. He said he's a professor from around 1,000 BC for the last 1,000 years in the Middle Ages. So about 900 BC, 900 AD, 1,000 AD up to the present. Otherwise, he's authority on the information. So he says he's in a position to make this statement. And let's see what he says. We're gonna see what he says.
Once people were destroyed, the gods had nobody to feed them. And so when the Noah character, do you know his name in the Gilgamesh epic? Yes, Utnapishtim. When he made it to the island and he offered an offering of thanksgiving, the image that is in that book is phenomenal. It says the gods flew around the smoke of the sacrifice like flies because they were so hungry because they hadn't been fed for such a long period of time. So
it was important to know who your God was so that the sacrifice went to the right place. And it's also telling because by knowing the name of the God, oh, this is really fun. By knowing the name of the God, it says something about the relationship between the community and the God or the power that is in relationship with that community. What does it say? It says that there was more equality in the relationship than there would be if you had a relationship with a God whose name you didn't know. What does that mean? It's the psychology of knowing names. You know, have you ever been to a party and somebody knows your name and you don't know their name and you feel very much at a disadvantage? Yeah? Or you were dumb enough to walk down the street with a cap that had your name on it and somebody you didn't know, like what happened to me when I was really nerdy. I mean, I got over it, right? The nerdy part, I think. I walked down the street and somebody says, "Hey, Ruvane." Oh, and I don't know who the guy was. He was bigger than me, and he made fun of me because I had a name on my cap, and I felt really stupid because he had a certain power over me because he knew my name. I didn't know his name. There is a sense of relationship and connection of knowing names and knowing identification. In many cultures, baby children are not named until after they become viable. So that's so that the angel of death or the evil powers may not get them. So there is a sense of knowing names. The name of the God of Israel was made of four letters that we do not know how to pronounce in the Jewish world. Some Christian communities pronounce it Yahweh, right, or Jehovah. But what that really is talking about, what that is conveying, is that in the ancient world, the Israelites knew the name of their God, just like the Moabites and the Ammonites knew the names for their gods. But when at some point in history, the Israelites made a transition from a polytheistic relationship with a limited God to a sense of a universal, all-powerful, all-knowing God, it was impossible, it was inconceivable that they should know the name. You know, we don't know the name of God in the Islamic tradition either. It's just Allah simply means the God. It's not Frank, not Jim, not Penelope, right? So that seems to be indicative of that change. Now, if you don't believe me, and it's okay for you not to believe me, it's okay for you to be wrong. I'm continuing on this motif earlier. Let's turn to the next item on page 2, 2 Kings. I'm just going to read you the first couple of verses here. This is a statement about the reforms that were made by a king named Josiah. He destroyed all of the idols that were being worshipped in Jerusalem by the Israelites because he was a real staunch supporter of monotheism. Then the king ordered the high priest, Hilkiah, the priest of the second rank and the guards of the threshold, to bring out of the temple of the Lord, this is yet, all of the objects made for Baal and Asherah. These were God, it was a god and a goddess, and all the hosts of heaven. He burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron. He removed the ashes to Bethel. He suppressed the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had appointed to make offerings at the shrines in the towns of Judah and in the environs of Jerusalem. And those who made offerings to Baal, to the sun and moon and constellations, all the hosts of heaven. It goes on. There's a lot more. So Israel, this community, was the first community to make a successful transition from polytheism to monotheism. And Israel, and Israelites, eventually Jews, were associated with monotheism. They were the founders of monotheism. Now, there's evidence, by the way, that there may have been other communities that were monotheist even before Israel, or maybe proto-monotheist or nearly monotheist. One option is in Egypt, Akhenaten, who was probably at least a proto-monotheist. It didn't survive. The idea didn't hold out. Israelites were the ones that were able to make it work and kept to it. And so the Israelites were made that transition to monotheism. There's one thing I neglected to tell you in this story, and that is that when you have a personal relationship with a tribal god, you have a very special relationship. It's like we're made for each other. Your God helps you. When you go into battle against your nasty neighbors who live on the other side of the river and are peeing upstream, your God goes into battle with you. And their God goes into battle with them. And the more powerful God, or the better God, or the God who is better fed by his community through sacrifices, is the God that prevails. So there's a sense of intimacy between the community and its God. The community probably really loves its God as well as it probably fears its God. And that is a relationship that I describe as chosenness. It was like we were chosen for each other. It's an intimacy. Now, the Israelites had that notion with their God. And although we have no written evidence that the Moabites or the Ammonites or the Ashdodians or the Philistines, they never wrote, we are the chosen people, that we have found in any text so far. I am extrapolating. I assume that probably everybody in the ancient Near East had the sense of chosen relationship with their own God. Israel retained that sense of personal relationship with the God of Israel, because it's called the God of Israel in the Torah, when it made that transition to monotheism. So it associated its once tribal God, now the God of the universe, who is the God of all, with a special intimate relationship. It's an accident of history. Because how could the God of the universe also have a chosen relationship with one small people? It doesn't make sense. And yet it's so deeply embedded in the culture of ancient Israel that they couldn't let it go. Even though there was some ambivalence, and we'll look at some texts that show that they were ambivalent about it. So the Israelites were monotheists, and they retained the sense of intimacy with the God who is now the God of all humanity. Now, what happened to all of those ancient religions of the ancient Near East? They all died out. The only surviving vestige of the ancient Near Eastern religion is the religion of Israel. And the religion of Israel, which is now Judaism, carries within it some vestiges of those old times.
Well, Brother Yagdai Israel, now, before we get off into the teaching on part number 11, what did you think about this old big time Reverend, you know, teaching along the way? Because one thing about it, like I keep telling you, I'm a great listener. I can listen to you all the way. I have no problem with being a great listener and a note taker. So, Brother Yagdai Israel, what you got to say behind him the second time there, Brother Yagdai Israel? Come on.
Well, I kind of picked on that last phrase here. Well, he said that the nation of Israel is now become the relationship between Israel and their power, but now it's become Judaism. So I kind of heard that little statement there at the end. That's here.
Hallelujah! Well, so right, they become now Judaism. See, otherwise.
Yeah.
The children of Israel, they have lost their identity. And now everything works. But here's a rabbi letting you know. And the children of Israel, now they become Judaism. They become Christianity. They become Muslims. They become everything now because of the leadership structure of the world. So now they become everything. And that's why we're trying to bring back to those that got an ear to hear. That's why we call on the one name and the one program. So the rabbi is making it plain that once upon a time ago, and he said, I'm an authority from the mid-season of the medieval period around 900 A.D. up to the present. He said, otherwise, nobody can hold a candle with me. The children of Israel of the Bible call on four letters, YHWH. So what will happen now? See? And that's what we're trying to bring to the table, and that's why we own what we own now. It's not but one name. All other names, like you got a lot of our loved ones, they become up into, they're up in Judaism, they're up in Jewish whatever, they're up in Christianity, they're up in Islam. They offer everything that's contrary to your ancient forefathers and mothers. They never knew about it, but now it's up on you right now. And how you know when you got it? You will be confused on every point. Good. So we'll leave it like that, Brother Yagdai Israel. So let's get it from before we do all that, our elder came in now, so we'll bring our elder in, and maybe he got something to say on that until we bring this broadcast, and we'll get what we can. Remember, what's that about? We're on 3-hour broadcast. Rabbi is letting you know that the peoples of the book call on 4 letters. They didn't call on no Elohim, no Lord, God, Jesus, Allah, Buddha, Jehovah. That came after you went into captivity in the brain for being disobedient. Now you hear brothers hollering about some Elohim, El, Yah, Yahweh, and that name that Brother Micaiah missed with the A, got the name. But all these names right here is after the fact. After the facts. So we leave it like that, Brother Yahdai Israel. So if you got a thing, Brother Yahdai Israel, we're going to swing down to the elder if you got a statement to make there, come out.
No, see, I get it all out.
Hallelujah. All right. So what we'll do is bring our elder in and let him, let you know, we'll bring this broadcast, and then we'll get what we can get in on what tape number 11 got to offer. So when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Kills. Got my vision, I see you right.
And Yahuwah bless you, see as well as see, bro. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, yo. Well, we had a pretty good, interesting memo and a boss message. So you heard the boss message about what's in the room on the international side, 195 international countries, and 112-540 is in the room now, Mr. Kill. 112-540. So what you got to tell the 112-540 is in the room. You on the clock, come up.
Once again, Yahuwah bless you, see you as well, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. Looks like a number of attending listeners is 112,540 listeners. Well, I guess we got a chance to hear some words of Yahuwah before our program really got deep. And what do I think about what I heard? Well, it made me go back into the thinking of the last part, like Brother Yahdai Israel was saying, when they went into war, when the Israelites went into war, and they were battling. Well, everybody that believed in their particular Yahuwah went into battle with them. It brought a scripture into mind, the Righteous Act, because the Righteous Act is only mentioned in two books in the Bible, in 1 Samuel and the Book of Judges. And Book of Judges struck my interest, chapter 5, verse number 11. 11 says, they that are delivered from the noise of archers in the place of drawing waters, there they shall rehearse the righteous act of the Yahuwah, even to the righteous act toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Yahuwah go down unto the gates. That scripture came into mind because you can imagine being delivered from the noise of archers in a place of drawing waters. So you could imagine arrows flying over your head. That was not during peacetime, but still, they went down toward the waters to rehearse the righteous act unto the inhabitants of the land. So that's a lot of faith in Yahuwah with arrows flying over your head. And this is the faith that we should have showing for the words of Yahuwah and letting that name register in our minds. The other thing that I'm thinking about is talents. We all have particular talents in our life that we're found on. Some maybe just have one, some have a couple, and a few of us, we have many talents. But as a talent develops and you really learn that talent, you find out it's easy to pick up another one, you know, because you have done something which is, let me explain it. A talent is something that you're instinctively born with. That gives you unique skills and abilities. I'm going to explain it that way. A talent is set apart from knowledge, and that it is not a learned behavior, but it can also strengthen and be practiced. The Bible, tells us in that particular note that when you discover the talents that Yahuwah has given you, you use them. You will glorify him. You'll experience a full life. Yahuwah wants us to feel whole and complete. And though through talents, we can find our unique calling in life. So in the Bible, you can look at what I just said. In Matthew's, I believe it's 25:20. So expound on that a bit. You know, what is a real talent? Let me go to the book of Matthew and I'll read exactly what it says there. Matthew's 25:20 to make sure I got that right for the listening members. Verse number 20. And so he that had received five talents came and brought another five talents, saying, Yahuwah, thou hast delivered unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained besides them five talents more. So when you use these talents in the right way to help others and help yourself, you'll find the things that you gain in life, as I just mentioned. And then you might hear verse 25:21. You might hear Yahuwah give you that recommendation, well done, loyal and faithful servant. You know, that would be a good thing. So we learn these things as we go along, and we learn to use these talents to help. But when you have to hurt, oh my goodness, when you use your talents to hurt, then you have to read the verses 26 to 28, where everything that you got will be taken away from you and given to somebody else that don't even need it. Well, I don't think you'd want to experience that one, and neither would I. This is why a teacher really has to put his learning out there to his students. That's why I say a teacher can't learn from a student. But having knowledge, he gains experience by teaching, you know, which is another talent. Now, a student can learn from a good teacher, possibly learning to develop talents on his own one day. You know, he might be able to teach the word of Yahuwah or some skill to someone else. And this shows well in all the six camps to teach. Because we all came here for one reason. We came to hear things in the Bible that most of us can hear. And some listening, they never understand. But that's without proper teaching. And this is what Yahuwah's ministry does. We bring this proper teaching out to you so we make the understanding possible. We all came to see things in the Bible through proper teaching that some of us looking can never find. And it's the misinformed that can do none of these things. As I mentioned, an example of the misinformed, you ask someone, where's the book of Genesis? Go to the book of Genesis. That's the first book in the Bible. You have to show them where it's at, so they can continue in their learning. Have to be careful of individuals such as that. We're given the knowledge to know that those out there that camouflage their evil or confused teaching, mostly confusion, and only loud bump the gums contests to hide what they don't know, to try to teach you their misunderstandings, even using the scriptures as verbal weapons. So you find this is why we're here, to help guide you through these dark times, just like the tape that we played, to inform you of things that is not known. Sometimes stuff that is not written is documented on other areas. And researchers, like we find out, research and bring this information to you. So we appreciate and welcome and thank all of you for attending our ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. Just like I said before, people ask, how can you get that much out of one book? That one book has all that? Yes, it does. Has about Yahuwah's word. Connecting the Bible books for your biblical education, even about your health and foods that you should eat, all in this one book. Keeping the Sabbath days, and we do this because you have not. It's information you came to seek, and now you found that what you have sought. In the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadah, we're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. When the days is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We generally don't have a class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of Sabbath is Friday. that class starts at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. Temple class starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also are using a website address. To get there, open up any search engine. On the search line, type www.tribe, that's tribeyhdh.com. Well, when you click enter, just under the big line, you'll see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. In the other device, you may see menu. But after you click this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings, and doing so, remember what it says in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7, and verse number 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone, remember what it tells us in the book of Malachi. Keep in mind, chapter 3, verse 7, well, let me change that, chapter 3, verse 8 and verse 9. 8 says, will a man rob Yahuwah? If ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein we rob thee? In tithes and offerings. 9, ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. That's why I usually say, remember, Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And donations to this ministry are greatly appreciated, that you give according to the Bible scriptures. For the note purchase, in the books of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8 and verse 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, alive. Also, for building a school, Baker Hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. We also have a calendar. Well, don't forget to check the calendar to help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program. This is a feature that's only available during live broadcast time. To get there, type in three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. Click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into our live online broadcast. Another thing, we also have two email addresses. The first is tribe, that's tribeyhdh at gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject answered, or related topics. The other is yhdhysraeel@gmail.com. This is also for biblical subjects or related topics. Now, we also are using a few numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is our live conference room number. That would be 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number where you can call, leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by anyone of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. Now, if you've happened to miss the beginning of our program, you can always catch the entire show to pick up on those little small details you may have missed. You can pick up that at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. To get there, enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And when you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. Just choose the program that you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, another note. Also, during the normal broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting on PalTalk. We will be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. This is where you find Yahuwah's word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any on-the-table topics that we discuss will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel, Riding Shotgun. No comments will be taken off topics or any more than two text questions answered. Failure to follow the Righteous Act, the elder will block or restrict the misuse. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, teaching will continue on Panel Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. For remember, the one thing that's always mentioned, when you're keeping the scriptures in mind, do not try to win the bump the gums contest. You will miss all the Yahuwah's glory which is said unto you. You have to remember, we're doing this to rehearse the Righteous Act, as I mentioned during the beginning of my commentary. We're rehearsing the Righteous Act to learn the words of Yahuwah. Remember what it says in St. John, chapter 14, verse 26. 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Righteous Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things into your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So we can start to remember those things. Keep your Bibles open. Let's do some rehearsing the Righteous Act. I'll pass our program over to our seer Israel and say, hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, Elder, that's excellent. Again, we'll get you on your bottom part of it, and that's what it's all about. Like we keep saying, that one thing we do know, one thing that six anointed camps is better received all over the known world, and what our thing is do one thing, is get the six anointed camps on one accord, one mind, and then we'll be able to respond, because after we heard the great lecture and the verse teaching, I asked one question. So if all the major institutions know and they is very aware of his name carries on the four letters, why it's not universal? He said, well, you know, bottom line of it, he gave me the answer, and we'll read that one verse. Here's the answer. Here's the answer he gave me there, Brother Yahdai Israel. So I said, well, you know, so you're saying that Judaism and Islam all know, and like you said, Islam, that just, I mean, what they call that name, Allah, is just another name for God. So he gave me an answer that we can read, and we get some Luke 12:12. So he said, "Seer, just take it right here and let's see what he says here in the 14th chapter, verse 37, down to verse 40. He gave me half of this, but it's a little bit more to it. So this is what his answer, going to ask the question. You know his name is four letters, because since you can't pronounce it and we can pronounce it, but we're not going to pronounce it. So that's the way it is. Well, I said, what you're saying? So 14:37 down to verse 40, let's see what was part of his conversation that he got on the table, because we come and tell you, bottom line, his name don't have a four letters. So anytime you call past the four letters, it's a great error. Because when they call him the four letters back in ancient times, he's delivered the children of Israel that's now called Jews. Now is doing the Judaism. Now doing the Islam. Now doing the Christianity. But he didn't do it before 96 A.D. He done it after that. What it says in 14:37-40 there, Brother Yahdai Israel. What it says in 1 Corinthians 14:37-40, this was verse that he brought me to, and I said, yeah, well, let's see what it say. Come on.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, 37-40 reads. Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse number 37. If any man think himself to be a seer, prophet, seer, or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the thing that I write unto you are the commandments or instructions of Yahuwah. Verse 38. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Verse 39. Wherefore, brothers, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order.
So what I get out of it is this. If you want to be ignorant and you want to call them by every other name, then we keep telling you ain't but one name to call on, so four letters, Y-H-W-H. So he says, what he's saying, bottom line, If the world want to remain ignorant and call him by many names, because we Jewish people can't pronounce it. See? You see? So he separated himself from Israel. We Jewish peoples cannot pronounce the four letters. So that's why Yahweh and everything else. And me representing Islam, Allah is just another name for God. So this is a man with high esteem. Now, if we'll read his resume one more time, and then after that, Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Read his resume one more time, Brother Yahweh Israel, then we're going to get up something going on. So if you want to be ignorant, you remain to be ignorant. But what's his resume? What he say he is? Come on.
I read from the Torah.com. And it reads, Professor Rabbi Reuben Firestone. Professor Rabbi Reuben Firestone is a resistant professor. R-E-G-E-S-T-E-I-N. Professor in Medieval Judaism and Islam at the Hebrew Union College, Jewish Institute of Religion.
Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Get something going on from that guy, Israel.
The book of Luke chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. See, when you saying that you got any kind of contact with the Almighty four-letter man, that means what we just got through hearing from the big dignitaries and what we telling you, you know it already. The four letters is the only name. He's there, all the rest of them for Canaanites and all the powers that be. They went down by that name of YHWH. That's what he says, Steve Ray. He said all the other ones that called it by other names, they dead. But the one of the universe, the YHWH man, see, that's what we try to bring to the table. So we're going to open up there, Brother Yahweh Israel, in the book of Hosea, chapter 7. And this is take number 11. Let's even throw a few things on the table, because we are great note-takers. We more of a great note-taker than anything else. Hosea, Louis for Joshua, chapter 7, 9 through 20, what it say?
The book of Hosea, Louis Joshua, chapter 7, verse number 9 through 20.
We'll make it 9 through 12.
The book of Hosea, Luther Joshua, chapter 7, verse number 9 through 12 reads. The book of Hosea, Luther Joshua, chapter 7.
But hold that point. Hold that point, Brother Yahweh Israel. Can you look and see what historical documents, facts, can you bring out that article on tape number 11 about historical documents, facts? That when you any kind of research, we'll pull it up. What is historical documents, facts? Can you read it for this national audience? We got a lot of big dignitaries. We want to just get back on what we just got through hearing. Historical documents, facts say what?
Give me 1 second on that, see ya.
All right. We don't rehearse nothing. We coming out with lies all the time. We don't rehearse anything. So we don't give nobody no heads up to anything. So it was very interesting to hear this message. So now we just going to tie a few things in according to the scripture. What it says about historical documents, facts, come on.
I read a historical document entitled Four Letters, YHWH. And it reads, one thing that is clear is that the name is not the Lord. This title is substituted for the name almost 7,000 times in both English translations of the Shemitic scripture, through the word Hebrew. In other words, YHWH is removed 7,000 times, and the Lord is added 7,000 times. This manipulation, no matter how well intended, has the clear desire of Yahweh for his people to call on his name.
See, if you're not called on his name, and it's just like anything else, you know, he said, hey, Jimmy, my car is stopped on the middle of the expressway. Woo, it's cold out here. He said, boy, I hope you can come out and help me, Jimmy. He said, I'm sorry to tell you, my name is not Jimmy. I feel that you out there on that expressway and it's cold, 0 degree weather, but you dial the wrong number. I'm not Jimmy. So how in the world you got any contact with this man? His name is not the Lord. It's not God. It's not Allah. It's not Elohim. It's not Yah. It's not Yahweh. It's not Jehovah. But you got communication with, and you don't even know his name? Imagine you going to a job interview and don't have an address. See, I got the job. I can't think of the name of the place. I can't think of the address. Well, guess what? You know you stuck out there. So that's how many of your brothers using, well, I got this contract with this Most High, but don't even know his name. The rabbi told you his name. We're telling your name. Historical documents, facts tell you his name. So how you got contact with a man that, the father and the son, that carries a name, and you don't even know the name? He said, that's the right. So we know you're not genuine unless you, when you hear the truth, you make a judgment and call on the one name, because the one name in 116:13 says what in the book of Psalms? What do the one name do for you if you make a judgment? After you hear the truth, you make the adjustment according to 1:16:13. What does it say about that? One name now, Brother Yahda Israel.
The book of Psalms, chapter 1:16, verse number 13 reads, Psalms 1:16:13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of Yahweh.
How many letters is that?
Four letters, YHWH.
And Peter pulled that in 4:12, and Peter pulled that verse. And let's see what Peter, he pulled it, the chief speaker from the nation of Israel, he pulled that verse. And let's go see what he said to the nation of Israel. Then when Peter writes to the scattered Israelites in 1 Peter 1:1, he pulled that verse to the scattered Israelites in Peter 1:1, and this is what he told them in his letter in 4:12. What did he tell them in his letter there, Brother Yahda Israel?
The book of Acts, chapter 4, verse number 12 reads, neither there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Uh-huh. So when you precept that to 1 Peter 1:1, who is he telling this to when you precept your Bible to 1 Peter 1:1 and James picked up on it and James 1:1? Let's talk about 1 Peter 1:1 and James 1:1. Come on.
Look at 1 Peter 1:1 reads, Peter, an apostle, follower of Yahweh the Son, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia.
So he writing to the strangers that scattered. So James gonna put a little bit more. He let always someone tell some, and some will add on to it. So now who's these one that scattered he writing to by going to James 1:1?
The book of James, chapter 1, verse number 1 reads, James, the servant of Yahweh, and of Yahweh the Son, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad.
To the 12 tribes. Hey, how many letters he writing to?
12 tribes that are scattered abroad.
12 tribes that are scattered abroad. So you see, the people of the Bible from 96 A.D., they understood that it wasn't but one name, and one people have to be brought back to a remembrance but this one people have lost their identity, and that's reading right now. They are on the Elohim, Judaism, the Jew, the Lord, God, and the Jesus, because they lost their identity. And the only one that can bring it back to them is the six anointed camps of bosses of the true Israelite. We giving you the research to find out that if you calling on him, if he got something to say to you, it's like somebody got something to say to you. If they don't call you by your name, you're not going to respond. Or if they keep calling you by another name, you'll stop and correct them. You say, hey, sir, ma'am, that's not my name. That's not my name. My name is YHWH, Yahweh. See, so that's what we're trying to tell you, see, Ray. Stop beating yourself and fumbling around with all these names, because the name that you're using, after you know the knowledge of the truth, and when you do the research of the truth, it'll tell you, use the four letters or you ain't got nothing coming. That's enough said on that. Let's run to the book of Hosea chapter 7. Now let's get out 9 through 12 saying what?
The book of Hosea. Little word, Joshua chapter 7. Verse number 9 through 12 reads, book of Hosea, include the word Joshua, chapter 7, verse number 9. Verse number 9. For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, shall envirom us round, cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Verse number 10. Yahweh said unto Hosea, the word Joshua, get thee up, wherefore lie thou thus upon thy face. Verse 11. Israel have sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. But they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and disassembled also. They have put it even among their own stuff. Verse 12. Therefore the family of Israel could not stand before their enemy, but turned their back before their enemy, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy your accursed from among you.
He said, I'm not going to be with you anymore because you have come accursed. So you see what the man is telling you? He said, hey, listen, Mr. Prayer Warrior, Hosea, get up off your face. I'm not going to be with Israel no more because they became accursed. He said, I'm not willing to become a curse. That's what the man said. And then Isaiah pulled that verse, and Isaiah pulled it and said something about it. See, do you know when you have many names coming out your mouth, and he tell you in 23:13, I don't want but one name to come out your mouth in Exodus. Do you know that a profound statement was made in the book of Isaiah? In the book of Isaiah, it was a statement made there, Brother Yahweh Israel. He made a statement in Isaiah pertaining to that. So you got to watch him now look at that. Now, the spirit of Yahweh, I'm just taking that right away from you right now. I was going out there with something. But evidently, see, he reminded me of, again, the big cat. When he know he done stung that rat. He said, that rat can't get his hole no more. He out in the open field now. He can't run. He can't get nowhere. I can slow walk him down. See, right, this was going on right now. See, the big dignitaries, they, everybody listen to the six anointed camps of bosses of the Jewish life. Listen, but if you want to continue to be ignorant and violate everything you got on the table, he said, you are cursed. That's what he said. He said, children of Israel. Now we're going to show you something in 65. Let's go to Isaiah 65. Now, if you become a curse, look what the man saying. Now, look what he's telling the seer to write in the 65. In Isaiah 65, he told the seer to put something down for me and write. Verse 15. Now, look, we're only going to comment after we all can read together. 65:15 says what?
The book of Isaiah 65, verse 15 reads, you shall leave your name for a curse unto my children. But Yahweh shall slay thee, call his servant by another name.
He said, you will leave your name and pick up a curse name. You're going to leave your name, Steve Ray, and you're going to call yourself a curse name. You're going to call yourself out, and you're going to answer to the name that is a curse. So the name he gave you in this book, you're not going to respond to the name in this Bible. You're going to respond to a curse name. And you're going to call him by a curse name. Besides the four letters YHWH, and you're going to call yourself by a cursed name. You see that? So you see, it's already written. So he just sit there. So you know what he did? He did a Hosea 5:15 on you. Let me show you what he did. This is what he did, because he told the seer what you was going to do. Then he told another seer called Hosea what he going to do. And let's see what he said in 5:15.
The book of Hosea, chapter 5, verse number 15 reads, the book of Hosea, chapter 5, verse 15, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early.
He said, I'm going to go watch you. He said, I'm going to produce a generation on your clock. Called Bosses of the True Israelites. I'm just going to watch you. And they're going to tell you my name is the four letters. And they're going to have big dignitaries tell you his name is the four letters. And you're going to turn right around and say that Usa, Lord God Jesus, just said something to me. And Elohim and Yah and Yahweh. And we're going to look at you and say, my. And that's why anybody you come in contact with is upon the curse. And you are upon the curse, because the Bible is not going to respond one, but you wait on somebody to tell you. Any other man comes to in Israel's mouth besides, and you say, I know I'm Israel, then you can't have another man come out your mouth unless you identify by being one of another nation. Then that's fine. The other nation ain't got to keep the Sabbath day. The other nation ain't got to keep the dietary. The other nation ain't got to wear fringes. But guess what? Israel, you do. Because that's your calling card. It's up to you. Let's go back and get a little bit more. Let's see what Isaiah says in 63, verse 19. We're going to walk it down a little bit there, Brother Yahya. Because the old rabbi says, he said a lot of things, and like he said, if we know that his name is the four letters, but like he said, who in power today? But one thing but no power is given unless it's through Yahweh. The only reason other nations in power over you, because it's written in 20 chapters 47 through 50. What's written over in Deuteronomy 28, 47 through 50, Brother Yahweh? Let me tell you something. The only reason you in the condition you in right now is written. It was told by Moses of the first five books. Why you in the condition you in, and what it says in the 28th chapter 47 through 50.
The book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47 through 50 reads. Book of Deuteronomy 28, verse 47. Because thy servant not Yahweh, your Yahweh will joyfulness and with gladness of mind for the abundance of all things. 48. Therefore shall thou serve thine enemy, which Yahweh shall send against you, in hunger, and in thirst, in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck, which he have destroyed you. Verse 49, Yahweh shall bring a nation against you from far, from the ends of the earth, as soon as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue you shall not understand. Verse 50, a nation of fierce countenance, who shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young.
See what he said? So he said, but that's why he tells you always, don't play the up and away thing. Always pray the 32 verse 7 of Deuteronomy. Always be a 32 verse 7 person. Always be a Bible person. Let the Bible tell you your next move. Look what it says in 32 verse 7 of Deuteronomy, there, Brother Yahya Israel.
Book of Deuteronomy 32, verse number 7 reads, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you, your elder, and they will tell you.
You see the man's name? He said, don't do the up and away on us. Always find the protocol of the Bible. Find out if you a father, find out where your elders at. Your elders' job is to tell you what to do. They'll tell you. The father's job is to show the mothers what they're supposed to be doing. That is the protocol. And the mother's job is to show the children what to be done. If we remember the protocol, we'll be all right. Now in 2 Chronicles, I need 2 Chronicles 13 there, Brother Yahdai Israel. I want to see as we walk this thing on down. In 2 Chronicles 13, verse 5, 8, 12 through 18. Let's just mask my audience here while the big dignitaries. See, we know that a whole lot of big dignitaries are going to come clean. And they're going to be getting in contact with Six Anointed Camp. And they're going to sooner or later gonna have to break a loose. That's why this ministry is to get the Six Anointed Camps one mind, one understanding, in order. Fringes on. In order. So when the floodgates hit, we ready to take care of our business and get our blessing from Yahuwah. Back in Chronicles 13, verse 5, 8, 12 through 18, what did it say, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 5, verse number...
We'll make it chapter 13. We'll make it chapter 13. And give me verse 5, 8, 12 through 18. 2 Chronicles. Chapter 13, verse 5, 8, 12 through 18. Brother Yahdai Israel, the world listening, come up.
The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 13, verse number 5, verse number 8, verse number 12 through 18 reads. The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 13, verse number 5. Are you not to know that Yahweh of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever? Even to him and to his son by a covenant of salt. Verse number 8. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of Yahuwah in the hand of the sons of David. You be a great multitude. There are with you golden calves, which Jeroboam made you for your false Yahuwah. Verse number 12. Behold, Yahuwah himself is with us for our captain and his priest. Sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you. O family of Israel, fight unite against Yahuwah of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. Verse 13. But Jeroboam caused an ambushment come about behind them. So they were before Yahdai Judah, southern kingdom. The ambushment was behind them. Verse number 14. And when Yahdai Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. They cried unto Yahuwah, and the priests sounded with the trumpets. Verse 15. Then the men of Yahuwah Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Yahuwah Judah shouted, it came to pass that Yahuwah smote Jeroboam and all Israel, northern kingdom, before Baal and Yahuwah Judah. Verse 16. And the family of Israel, northern kingdom, fled before Yahuwah Judah, and Yahuwah delivered them into their hand. Verse 17, and Abiah and his people slew them with a great slaughter. So they fell down slain of Israel, northern kingdom, 500,000 chosen men. Verse number 18, thus the family of Israel, northern kingdom, were brought under at that time. And the family of Yahuwah Judah prevailed because they relied upon Yahuwah of their fathers.
You see that? So it ain't about color, see, right? See what keep telling you about. If you got a loved one, you got a family member just contrary to the truth, and you might as well give off your face. See, Yahuwah don't care. Yahuwah is a covenant keeper. You see how many those that look just like Southern Kingdom, Northern Kingdom, you know, I hate to kind of guess, but you know, I love it. But listen to it. verse 12, 14, 18. So you got to be a great note taker. See, you got to be a great note taker. If you take great notes, Yahweh will step in and help you. Just don't have it be a musing, well, I'm going to come and get me some good words. No, take notes. Take notes. Because listen here, I have a bless your people, and when I be hearing some things are coming, I'm taking notes. Why? I want to hear verse 12, 14, 18 one more time. Now, how about you? I want to hear what it says in verse 12, 14, and 18.
The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 13, verse 12, 14, and verse 18 reads, book of 2 Chronicles 13, verse number 12. Behold, Yahweh himself is with us for our captain, and his priests with sounding trumpet to cry alarm against you. O family of Israel, northern kingdom, fight united against Yahweh of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. Verse 14. When Yahweh Judah, southern kingdom, looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. They cried unto Yahweh, and the priest sounded with the trumpet. Verse 18, thus the family of Israel, northern kingdom, were brought under at that time. The family of Yahweh Judah, southern kingdom, prevailed because they relied upon Yahweh of their fathers.
Is anybody grinning? Is anybody scaring and grinning with me? Look what WCC said. See, we sure cut you off behind that, but we not. Well, it's your radio station, Brother Yahdai, so he take over us the way. You see, now listen, where can we hear some of that good stuff in the Bible? You see, the 12 tribes of Israel, understand one thing. Judah leaves. When Judah right, everything is all right. You see the old northern kingdom did? They puffed themselves up. And they puffed themselves up. And Yahweh looked at the thing. He said, hey, look here. If you're out of order, you're out of order. He's not fired in the northern kingdom. But now it's time to bring this to one body. But you got to come to one body up under the rules and regulation of the Bible. Remember, make your decision according to the Bible. When we lay out the Bible, you go back over and see what the Bible's saying. When the southern kingdom call on that name, them four letters, he heard that real quick, and he responded. And that was the rabbi was saying. When they went to battle, they knew their Yahweh name. And Yahweh kicked the dick in every nation. So without, we don't know nothing now. Now we think his name Elohim and Jehovah. You see that? And we swear we get a communication from Elohim and Yah and Jehovah. That's not true, see right here. You know, that's not true according to the Bible. Let's do Bible now. Let's put down what we think and what we feel, and let's do Bible. Because, listen, our main goal is get the six anointed camps on one accord, one mind. But the six anointed camps got some rules they got to do. They got to be a Psalms chapter 50. Verse number 5-7. Now we're gonna precept that. So I'm gonna tell you something. We know it's the network. We see the network is packed with all over the world. They listen. But see, this message is for the six anointed camps. Look what it says out of the mouth of David in 1000 BC. 1000 BC and the 50th chapter. Yeah. We're gonna look at verse we're gonna look at 5-7. What
does
it say there, Brother
Yahdai
Israel? 5-7. What
does it say? The book of Psalms, chapter 50, verse number 5-7 reads. Book of Psalms, verse number 5. Gather my saints together unto me, though they have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Verse 6. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for Yahweh is judge himself. Verse number 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am Yahweh, even your Yahweh.
Yeah. And you know, Joel pulled that in 2:27, 28, and 32. He pulled that verse. See, right, all you're going to do is pull verses. You don't start pausing and now look at the drywall. No, pull verses. That verse was poor, see, Roy. In that very same hour he'll give you, that verse was poor. Where was it poor at? Joel. Write it down. 27, 28, and 32. Listen good. These verses is poor. You can get the spirit if you do right. But you got to listen to what was said. Now watch he pull that verse and talk about this four-letter man of Israel. What did he say there in Joel chapter 2? 27, 28, and 32, that brother Yahdai Israel.
The book of Joel chapter 2, verse number 27, verse 28, and verse 32 reads. The book of Joel chapter 2, verse 27. And you shall know that I'm in the midst of Israel, and I am Yahweh your Yahweh, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Verse 28, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your son and your daughter shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream. Your young men shall see visions. Verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. When the mount of Yahdah Judah, southern kingdom, shall be delivered, as Yahweh said in the remnant, whom Yahweh shall call.
Your man said, he said, you're not going to be delivered until you call on the name. He said, whosoever call on the name going to be delivered. And he told you, I'm the Yahweh of the children of Israel and all else. So here's the point, see, right? Ain't no deliverance coming unless you understand what's written in verse 32. The deliverance will come when you remember one thing. Verse 32 say ain't but one name to call on to be delivered. How many letters in verse 32?
Four letters. YHWH.
You see that? I mean, what can we do? What can we show you that you need to know? Get away from that foolishness and think you can call on any other name than the name that the Bible is talking about. Four letters, YHWH. That's it. So you're not going to be delivered. Say this right there. Let's go back to the book of Isaiah and look what he says in 63, verse 19. What he says in Isaiah 63, verse 19. Now, Isaiah 6, he on the clock. He got something to write. What did he write in 63? Verse 19.
The book of Isaiah chapter 63, verse number 19 reads, book of Isaiah chapter 63, verse number 19. Isaiah 63, verse 19. We are thine, thy never bears rule over them. They were not called by your name.
He said, you ain't never rule over them because they weren't called by your name. He said, you ain't never rule over them. I don't care what the Constitution said. Did you hear what Isaiah said? You have never ruled over them because they was not called by your name. Now, who can we read with a precept that was called by his name? That's all you do. Put your eyes back in the Bible and precept the book and go to 6:22 to 27 and see who was called by his name and by who. So you see, Mr. C. Ray, your problem is one thing. You're all over the place. You'll stay all over the place until you understand one thing. Ask your elders and they will tell you your next move. And then you follow through that and guess what? We all going to unite together as one. But you have to make sure you got some Romans 12, 1, 2, or 3 on you. Remember we read over in Psalm chapter 50, 5 through 7? Huh? So don't get too comfortable by being all over within 70 miles of the end of the 6th anointed camp. Because look what he told Paul, told the ones that was scattered over there in Rome. He came them eyeball to eyeball and said something to them. In the 12th chapter, 1, 2, and 3, and let's see what he said to him. 12, 1, 2, and 3, what did it say?
The book of Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, 2, and verse number 3 reads, book of Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brothers, sisters, by the mercies of Yahweh, as you present your body a living sacrifice, righteous, acceptable on Yahuwah, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of Yahuwah. Verse 3, well, I say to the mercies given unto me, every man and woman that is among you, not to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think, but to think soberly, according as Yahuwah have dealt to every man and woman, a measure of the covenant belief.
And what did he tell you? Get in order. Get in order. It ain't but one people called by his name, and we're going to read it right out of the first five books. What people is called by his name? All we got to do is just preach up and read it. 6:22 down to verse 27 of the book of Numbers. Let's see who called by his name. And if you have that name at the end of your name, you are under something that we can read. Don't you know you are under something that you can read? What you can read? Let's see what he says. Numbers 6:22 down to verse 27.
The book of Numbers chapter 6. Verse number 22 through 27 read. Book of Numbers 6, verse number 22. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 23, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying on this wise, you shall bless the family of Israel, saying unto them, Yahweh bless you and keep you. Verse 25, Yahweh make his face shine upon you and give you and be gracious unto you. Verse 26. Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Verse 27. They shall put my name upon the family of Israel, and I will bless them.
What? Why won't these preachers tell you that? I mean, the big dignitary told you that. Why? Listen, everybody's going to come clean, but why are you waiting on the 10 o'clock news, the fake Flynn report, to tell you who you are and what you supposed to be doing? Why are you waiting on this? We come humble 6 nights a week. If you ain't got that at the end of your name Israel, you not elect. And you ain't got that authority enough. Yahuwah already gave you permission. Once you come under the covenant, at the end of your name, put the name Israel at the end of your name. Then you upon the blessing. See? You upon the blessing at the end of your name. You ain't got to go ask Esau and his five sons of no nation about them. They can't legalize anything. You know why they can't legalize anything? Because it's written that they can't do it. They only legalize what's in the world, but not Yahuwah don't recognize it. You know why you don't recognize it? Let's go to 50:16 and read it. See, we can read everything they tell you. We're going to Psalms 50, verse 16 and 17. Let's see, can you go and let them legalize your name and Yahuwah on the step. We're going to see what the Bible says. Because you got a lot of brothers say, well, look, I would legalize my name. Where you would legalize your name at? I went down to City Hall and they legalized my name as Israel. That's why you do that. I said, you know, you got written in Psalm 50:16-17 that I don't care what step they got. Let's see what Yahuwah said about it that we can read. The whole thing is what can we read about this? 50, 16 and 17, come on.
The book of Psalms chapter 50, verse 16 and verse 17 reads. Psalm 50, verse 16. But unto the wicked, Yahuwah said, what have you to do to declare my statutes? That you should have taken my covenant in your mouth. Verse 17. Seeing you hate instruction and casts my words behind you.
You the man said, so how you got up? Well, you know, we went down and we legalized our name. That's how you legalize your name. We Israel now, because we went down to, who you going to legalize it to? Well, Esau and his five sons, they stepped. Yahuwah don't hear nothing they got to say, because they haven't done too much. How you legalize your name is following the instructions of the Bible. Yahuwah said when you come to the knowledge yourself, you just put it there and I will respond to it. And who you tell that to? 29:23. Let's see who he's telling that to about this blessing. Let's see who do it apply to that we can read. Remember one thing. If you can't read it with a storm machine approach, then you need to wait a little while, because this thing about those that can step up, they got the sewing machine approach. Flat out meet whoever, whatever camp it is, whatever big dignitary, wherever they is, and meet them in the pages of the book. Lose all bump the gum contest. When they come up with some air, be cocked and loaded from the pages of the Bible. You got that? Let's see what it says in 49:28. What does it say in 49:28 that we all can read together?
The book of Isaiah.
We'll make it Genesis. Get warmth in Genesis. And we go to the end of the world and see, at the end of the world, do it still remain the same? We're going to find out. See, we're going to find out something, see, right? When you preach out your Bible, you're going to find out something. But as long as you keep down the fence, not making your body a living sacrifice and getting in where you fit in it, because Yahweh made it plain in 12:18 of 1 Corinthians. What did he say? What did he say in 1 Corinthians 12:18, that brother Yahweh? What did he say?
Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 18 reads, Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 18. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. But now have Yahweh set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him.
As it pleased him. And he tell you what in verse 25. So he
verse
put
number
it
25.
The way it pleases him. Verse 25.
Verse number 25. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another.
You see that? No schism in the body. One mind, one understanding about the same goal. And everybody going to get that together, because Yahweh going to intervene. You got the name right. You got the program right. Yahweh, then he'll tell you plainly in 3:22. If you got everything that he's saying that you can read right, then he responds in 1 John 3:22. Do you want to know what he's saying? Let's see what he says in 1 John 3:22.
The book of 1 John 3, verse 22 reads, whatsoever you ask, we receive of him, because we keep his Torah instruction and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
You see what he's saying? He said, what taking you so long to ask me something? You got my Torah instruction? You got my first five books? He said, what taking you so long to ask me something? He said, you got Leviticus 24:1-8 working with you? He said, hey, do you got Leviticus 24:1-8 working with you? Then what taking you so long to ask me something? You said, your tricky knee ain't acting right? Your back going out on you? He said, why don't you ask me something? But do you got me right in 24:1-8? That's what I want to know. What he say is 24:1-8 of Leviticus.
The book of Leviticus, chapter 24. Verse number 1, verse number 8 reads, Leviticus 24, verse number 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse number 8, every Sabbath you shall set it in order before Yahweh continually, then take it from the family of Israel by an everlasting covenant.
He said, ask me something. He said, you're keeping the Sabbath day, you sit in order, everlasting covenant. He said, what take you long to ask me? You mean you ain't keeping the Sabbath day? You ain't wearing fringes. You ain't got on the end of your name Israel. And you got all this personal relationship with him. What book do you read that out of? Or is you doing a Proverbs chapter 5, chapter 3, verse 5? Are you doing a Proverbs 3, verse 5? Because if you got all this going, then Yahweh said, what take you so long to ask me something? But are you a Proverbs 3, verse 5? I want to know. What does it say in Proverbs 3, verse 5?
Book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse number 5 reads, Book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse number 5. Trust in Yahweh with all your might and lean not unto your own understanding.
Trust in Yahweh with all your might and lean not on your own understanding. The six anointed camps know one thing and sound good, but who can we read of that? So we all about one thing. That sounds real good, what you said out your mouth. But where can we read this at? What we can read, all these people's coming together and everybody gonna continue to kick you in the ring, then in the kingdom they're gonna kick you in the ring. It don't work like that, see, right? See, you're not reading this Bible. And a big dignitary, they know it will come, somebody gonna come bring this out. Because we know when it's all said and done in 21 of Revelation. See, we can go to the end of the world and look what it says, what's going to happen at the end of the world. We can go there. See, we can go there by we all get the Bible and look at 21, and we go and we all going to go there and see what's going to happen at the end of the world. That's what we're going to do. We're going to see what will happen at the end of the world. See, we can go read it. Let's go to 21 and pick up a verse 12. And let's see what's going to happen when it's all said and done. And you tell me, all these people you listen to, now we at the end of the world. And let's see what he got written in 21, verse 12. What he got written at, Brother Yahweh Israel?
The book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse number 12 reads, it had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gate 12 minister spirit, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the family of Israel.
So what that means, see, right? What that mean? That means every religion you call on, even the big rabbi called on Judaism, it ain't no gates for Judaism. It ain't no gates for Christians. It ain't no gates for Muslims. It ain't no gates for others. It's 12 gates. You must come through one of them gates of the 12 tribes of Israel, or you don't get in. That means some submission. Like I said, the word Islam means submitting. There's going to be a whole lot of submitting going on. Not only there's going to be a whole lot of submitting going on, there's going to be something else going on that we can read. You know what? There's going to be something else going on that we can read. And let's see what we can read before we comment on the 47th chapter of Isaiah. See, not only you didn't think you just gonna walk in the kingdom without something that we can read, because we're gonna be expecting something that we can read. Because when you come in the kingdom, we'll be looking right at this Bible when you come in. We're gonna be looking at this Bible in the 47th chapter from Yahweh Israel. Let's see what we're gonna be looking at. We're gonna be looking at something in 47th chapter. Well, make it a 49th chapter. We're gonna be looking at something. And 49, verse 23. See, we're going to be, like when the rabbi was talking, I was looking at the Bible while he was talking. We're going to be looking at the Bible and see if you lock with the Bible. Now here it is. We're going to go to 49, verse 23. And now, in fact, let's make it sound good in verse 22. Let's just, you know, let's enjoy it. Let me give it a little, some tea and enjoy this. See, we're going to be watching the Bible. And we're going to see the line with this Bible. And the devil, we tell those of the fishing on the camp, don't watch the speech of the appearance, but watch the Bible. Let's see what the Bible says in the 49th chapter, verse 22 and 23. Listen to this.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verse number 22 and verse 23 reads, Isaiah 49, verse number 22. Thus saith Yahweh, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people. They shall bring your son in their arms. Your daughter shall be carried upon their shoulders. Verse 23. Kings shall be your nursing fathers. Their queens your nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth and lick up the dust of your feet. You shall know that I am Yahweh, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me.
Now, you don't get happy behind that. So we know that some of the other 17 nations don't make it. But we're going to be looking for them to do the right thing, but we'll be looking for what we just got through seeing that, too. We'll say, yeah, we know you made it, but you made it, but you got some, we see you on borders, but what about the next person at 23? You ready to perform that verse 23? We're going to say what the Bible's saying. And that's why we are lowered on the known world. They know this thing is coming to a close. The more you learn the Bible and stop getting out of the Bible, because this Bible got no mates. Once you learn this Bible, Yahweh will show us the next move. But you got to know what you're talking about. And what you're talking about, you better read it. You better have a quote, not thumbing around with this thing. Have a quote. Now, if you don't bow down the way he just said it, he got it written. What's going to happen? If you remember when you was back in the day, we had the little your young children, and you tell them, get over there and wash them dishes, get things together. And their eyes be in the corner, and you said, and their eyes in the corner, then you say, well, I'm through the dishes, I'm going out. No, you had your eyes in the corner, and you didn't wash them right. So this thing going to have to be right to you, right? Let me show you what we're talking about. We're going to Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to look at exactly what is going to happen that we all can read together. See, you're going to serve long enough. That's why we tell these brothers, you got to, sisters, you got to, get up and make your body a living sacrifice in the Six Anointed Camp, and let's get busy. Because this is what's going to happen, but let's read it first. Let's see what's going to happen in the 6th chapter, pick up verse 10. And we'll take it down to verse 16. See, you know, I love every minute of it. Six nights, like the end of the thing. You mean all that's in this book? Yes. All of this is in this book. Why don't you read this, obey this, then whoever come in contact with you, tell them read this and get away from that one-eyed Satan and read some of this book. Let's even say in 60 verse 10 down to verse 16. Listen to this.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verse number 10 through 12 reads. Book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verse number 10. And the sons of the stranger shall build up your walls. Kings shall minister unto you. For in my wrath I smote you, but in my favor have I had mercy on you. Verse 11. Therefore your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night. That men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their king may be brought. Verse 12. For the nation and kingdom that would not serve you shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted.
You can't you get happy with that? But look what it says in verse 14 and 16. I mean, listen, do you hear what the Bible's saying? And I was saying, do you hear what the Bible's saying? Verse 14 and 16. Listen to this.
Verse number 14. The sons also of them that afflicted you shall come bending unto you. They that despise you shall bow themselves down at the sole of your feet. They shall call you City of Yahweh, Yahweh Judah, of the righteous one of Israel. Verse 16, you shall also suck the milk of the Gentile nations and shall suck the breast of kings. You shall know that I, Yahweh, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the mighty one of Israel.
You don't like that? I like this kind of stuff. I like hearing stuff like this. And I like to know if we hold on in 61, verse number 7. I like when I'm looking at 61, verse 7. Do you like Isaiah 61, verse 7? Let's see what it says.
The book of Isaiah 61, verse number 7 reads, for your shame you shall have double. And for your confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto you.
He said, for your shame you got a double coming. So listen, six and all the camps, hold on. for your shame, you got a double comment. You know what the man's saying? You know, I've seen a movie before, a movie little brother say, I think that movie was called Master Somebody, Superfly something. He said, you know, the big dignitaries told us we can double up when we get ready. I love to double up, C-Ray. You got a double up coming once you start getting right. Once you get in where you fit in at and recognize Jock was the one gave you them talents, but he gave you them talents for one reason. Do you know he gives you talents, but for one reason? Let's go to the 8th chapter, read verse 11, 16, and 17. And we'll close out with that, Brother Yagdaya. Right now, we get a couple more in. So, listen, you think that you've got your talents. You all know that. Do you know what Yahweh tells you about the talents you got that's already written in the left side of it? Told you might be a great whatever you are. Do you know Yahweh got it written in the 8th, verse 11, 16, and 17 about this great talent that you have that is written? What did it say about it?
The book of Deuteronomy.
Yes, sir. That's good enough. How about 8, 11, 16, and 17? Will that work, Brother Yahweh, Israel?
Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 11, 16 and 17 reads. Book of Deuteronomy 8, verse number 11. Beware that thou forget not Yahweh, and not keeping his Torah instruction, his judgment, his statutes, which I command you this day. Verse number 17. And thou say in thy mind, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Verse 18. But thou shalt remember that Yahweh your Yahweh, for it is he that giveth you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto your fathers, as it is this day.
He said, never forget that. He said, you might be riding on high, you got it going on, but listen, he bless your hand to have good things for yourself to do one thing. Remember Yahweh's covenant. His covenant, see, right? He said, I bless your hand where you can do more and others can do less. But don't forget about the covenant. He said, he the one who give you power to get wealth. To do what? To establish his covenant. Land, school, banquet hall. A lot of teaching got to be done, see, right? The peoples of the children of Israel is lost. Big piece of land, school, and banquet hall, we can unfold this thing. But we got to step up to the plate. And if you bless with any kind of talent, get in contact with the 609 account. Get in the range of 70 miles and put your talent on the table for the ministry. And be a doer. Make your body a living sacrifice. That's the blessing Yahweh wants. Go to Daniel chapter 9, verse 19 through 21. We'll close out with this, Brother Yahweh Israel. See, understand one thing. The big dignitary, see, you wait on the news to tell you what we're telling you. The big dignitary in the beginning of this broadcast was spoken. He said, I'm the big dignitary of Muslims and Judaism. I'm the head man. He said, the children of Israel, the Bible called on the four letters. And every time they got in a battle, they won. But I know what they're doing now. Now they're calling on Elohim and Yah and Jesus. You see what you're doing now? Elohim, Yah, and Jesus. Now you win in a battle. Now call on the Lord God and Jesus. He just told you in the beginning of the tape, the children of Israel call on the four letters. YHWH, which us Jewish people can't even pronounce it. See that? See, they can't pronounce it. The Jewish people can't pronounce it. Well, what y'all doing in 1948? You got a homeland over there, and you can't pronounce the name. You see them telling themselves? Us Jewish people can't pronounce the name the children of Israel got, so it's a separation secret. Why you got to wait till they tell you the separation? The Jewish people ain't got nothing to do with the children of Israel. In the beginning of the case, as a matter of fact, Brother O'Shea, make sure you cut a couple of them pieces up in that tape and put it on a slot so I can get to it. Showing the Jewish people is telling you plainly We can't even pronounce the name YHWH. That's why we put in there Yahweh. That's why we did it. But now in the day, you think the Jewish people is the people of the Bible. And the man just blows the whistle and told you we not. We can't even pronounce the name. You see that? So we're going to put that in the slot. And then we're going to play it and hope that you take heed to the message. One name, YHWH. Let's read from Daniel chapter 9, and let's watch those seals to make a prayer. Let's see if he's praying for the world and what he's saying, and we're going to read it all together. Let's see what he's saying in Daniel chapter 9, 19 through 21. So listen good at this Daniel the seer. Let's see what he's doing. We all can bear witness to it together. Come up.
The book of Daniel chapter 9, verse number 19 through 21 reads, book of Daniel 19. Book of Daniel chapter 9, verse 19. O Yahuwah, hear, O Yahuwah, forgive, O Yahuwah. Hearken and do, defer not. For thine own sake, O my Yahuwah, for the city and your people are called by your name. Verse 20. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, and the sin of my people Israel, presenting my supplication before Yahuwah, my Yahuwah, for the righteous mountain of my Yahuwah. Verse 21. Yet while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly about the time of the evening oblation.
And what did he do? When he got down there, what did he do? Say, he got a little meal for. What did he do in 22? Now he flies swiftly to him. And they got to him while he was still I got to pull a rabbit out of here. Hold that point. That's Isaiah, that brother. See, that sounds pretty good. But explain what was going on in the life of Daniel. And we're going to Isaiah and read. Let's see what was going on. See, do you notice in the Bible right here? It's written that once you get yourself straight, it's written. He says it's written. And the 65th chapter, verse 24. Listen to what he got written in the Bible we all read together. Is we all reading together? Let's see what it says in the 65th chapter, verse 24.
The book of Isaiah, 65, verse 24 reads, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear.
You the man say? And how are we going to be in verse 22? You the man just say it. He said, he's just giving it, cock your mouth back. I'm going to be right there down there with you. When you get me right, I got you right. You don't want that? That's up to you. Look where you're going to be according to verse 22.
Verse 22. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. But the days of a tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands.
And we so busy. Come on. We built the White House. So what? So you built the White House. You always, we built over there in China the Great Wall. We did all that. So what? You and the man saying, all you got is slavery talk of what you did. Why don't you tell about the good stuff that he got for you when you get the name right and that company right? Oh, well, we did this. We was kings and queens, and we ran everything over there in Europe. So what? When you going to read that Yahuwah is saying, I'm going to do some marvelous things with you when you come back to my covenant? You going to remember none of that stuff that you did for somebody else and everybody has enjoyed it. Why you gonna tell your loved one about you built the White House? So you cast the sticks and the bricks and the, huh, while they were drinking ice Kool-Aid on watching you. So what? Tell them about the YHWH of Israel. How much good things you got coming if you turn to him and you give them in the body. Put some fringes on, keep the Sabbath day, make your body a living sacrifice, and pay your tithes on time. And watch things unfold. Then you will see some things, and Yahuwah give you the devil. You got it? Good. Very out there, Israel. We'll start it right there. So you see what all came out of the old real making this statement about the children of Israel called on the four letters. What you got to say about that, brother? Y'all got Israel. Come on.
Hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua. Love the way it's rolling out there, see Israel, a sea royal. Great work, T, to the four quarters of the globe. Praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah, qua.
Hallelujah, qua. Excellent. All right, we're going to bring Howard Hill in. He'll give his closing thoughts on tape number 11. And remember one thing, if you got your pal talk, North, get into the room. Get into the room, and any questions or comments pertain. And we'll say that you know, the elder, he's there for you. Anything is on your mind, he's there for you. He's there for you. He'll help you out. Whatever you want to know, he'll help you out. I come in the room and take notes. That's all I'm going to do. But he'll handle it. Could tell you in 32 verse 7, ask your elder, and he will tell you. So if you got any question pertaining to what the Bible's saying, go to the next room after the broadcast, put your name in the slot, say, I got something, I want to say something. Then the elder going to say, come on to the microphone and talk. And when you talk, he's going to book and show you what you need to know. I'm going to tell you in 32 verse 7, ask your elder, stop looking past the drywall, because there ain't nothing up there but the open space and drywall. Get into this book. Over to our elder for his closing statements on tape number 11. You on the clock, come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me back into tonight's broadcast. And looks like we had a lot that we went through in the earlier portion for learning. And most of all was about the talents for bringing out things that most people that say they believe do not bring out. And I guess myself, I can appreciate listening to all this and hope many of the other members that have also appreciated it. Because these are things that we need to know that's been kept from us for a lifetime. And now it's beginning to be revealed through this program, Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. That's why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of confusion, bad teachings, and Christianity. And we welcome and thank all of you for attending the live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics. And we always say new and exciting topics because a lot of people say, how can you get that much out of this one book? Well, each time I say it comes from the words of Yahweh, connecting the Bible books, because this is not a comic book or a novel. It is a book that we continuously say is for reproof, for righteousness, and corrections. You know, we can use the Bible to prove the Bible. We always do that, talking about your precepts. It's also for your health, foods that you should eat and keep in the Sabbath days. We do all this on this one book that you have knocked, and you came to seek, and you found it, which you have sought, as I said before, in the Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. and the days, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and no class on Tuesday. Now, we do have a Sabbath class. Top part of the Sabbath class is starting at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. The temple class starts at 12 p.m. and the online class starts at 2 to 5 until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. On any search line, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. When you click enter, just under the big line, you'll see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. Any other device, you may see menu, but after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the Book of Psalms. Chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahweh, your kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone to remember that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8 and verse 9. This is to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahweh, life. Also, for building a school, banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of. Although Yahweh. Also, while there, don't forget to check the calendar. That will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days often spoke about in this program that come to us throughout the year. For the live program, it's a feature that's only available during live broadcast time. To get there, enter three words, Yahweh Radio Live. After you click on it, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. Click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into our live online broadcast. We're also using two email addresses for the listening members to use. The first is tribe, that's T-R-I-B-E-Y-H-D-H, at gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject answered, and related topics. The other is Y-H-D-H-Y-S-R-A-E-L, at gmail.com, also for biblical subjects or related topics. We have a few numbers also you can righteously call with Yahweh in mind. The first is the live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number where you can call, leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 690 camps of Yahweh's ministry. Now, if you've happened to miss the beginning of our program, you can always catch the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. To get there, enter three words, Yahweh Radio Live. When you click enter, once again, look for the Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. This time, choose the program that you were late logging into or any previous day at that point that you would like to listen. Now, as was earlier mentioned, during our normal Broad Talk broadcasts, we're also simultaneously transmitting on Pell Talk, which is a good thing, where our sound is crystal clear. We'll be looking listed under ethnic group, African American. Once again, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. You'll find this is where Yahweh's Word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any on-the-table topics that we discussed will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel, riding in the shotgun. Sometime we're able to get him out of the background and speak, but we'll see. We will be taking no comments off topics or multiple text questions answered. Failure to follow the Righteous Act, the Elder will block or restrict the misuse. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, our teaching will continue on Pell Talk. Yahweh be with you all. As I said before, remember, we cannot learn the words of Yahweh by trying to win a bump the gums contest. You end up missing all the glory from Yahweh, which is said unto you. We're rehearsing the Righteous Act to learn the words of Yahweh so we can continue our learning process. Keep those Bibles open. Possibly take notes. Pass our program back to our seer Israel. Possibly, I mean actually take notes. Pass our program back to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Yeah, right, that's right. But tell you something. We be taking notes. We come on network with a clear sheet of paper, but we can take notes. One thing about it, we know it's all going to come in because, you know, once we identify in the royal blue garment with some fringes on it, you're going to be, people's going to be bumping into you all over all parts of the known world, and you have to be able to, hey, you with them royal blue garments on with them blue fringes on. Them fringes. Well, hey, are you one of the boss of the True Israelites? Yes. Well, you know, I asked some questions. Well, how did you recognize me? Through your fringes. See, right here. That's how he recognized you. Through your fringes. As long as you don't have no fringes on, can nobody recognize you? Yahweh gave you a sign. He gave you a blessing by wearing fringes. Did you ever watch the movie called Lone Rangers and Tonto? Did you know old Tonto had fringes on and he saved old Kemosabe how many times? Everybody here broadcast, he had to go save him. He had to go save him. But he always got himself hung up somewhere. But who go get Kemosabe? The one that had the fringes on. See, Ray, that's your calling card. Once you know who you are, you'll be a 15, 37 through 40. You will not leave home with something sold with some fringes on with a blue ribbon on. Because you walk around as a child of the Almighty and the blessings is in your favor. Don't you want something in your favor? It is the fringes. But now, the most important part of this broadcast is when you get a chance to hear the mothers come on the broadcast and get in the microphone and tell you whatever the Almighty has put on in the chair. That's the most exciting part of the broadcast. See, if we understand these things, we're going to be more than all right. The mothers are getting ready to speak in a few minutes. Listen to what the mothers say. Take heed to it. You're going to learn something to help yourself and your loved ones. And one more thing about the mothers. I watch everybody from the pages of the book. The three mothers that's in Camp 1, as there was mothers and all the rest of them too, I have never seen their demeanor but one way. One way every time I see them. I never have to ask them, what spirit you got on you this time? I want to say that to them. They're the same spirit every time. See? And you can beat them on that. So now take heed. The mother's getting ready to speak. She's going to go find Mother Z and bring her in, and she's going to whatever the Almighty will put on her to tell this national audience. She'll tell it. She'll tell you. You got ears to hear, she'll tell you. But we're going to meet Mother Z, and when you meet the mothers out of Camp 1, with a loud voice, you say, Mother Z, tribe of Yahdah Judah, Yahweh BJLC, right?
Yahweh bless and keep you, seal Israel, all royal seed. Hallelujah, Yahweh. And
hallelujah.
I know, CEO, you were just talking about the fringes. And I had to turn to that scripture to tell a national audience that it is written in the Bible that, Israel, the children of Israel are supposed to wear fringes. And it reads from the 37th, Numbers chapter 15, verse 37 down to 40. And it reads, and the Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of Thou Dharmat throughout their generation, and that they put upon the fringes of their borders a ribbon of blue, 39, and it shall be unto you for a fringe that he may look upon it and remember all the Torah instruction. For the Yahweh of the Yahweh and do them and that ye seek on mine and your own eyes after which he used to go a horn, verse 40, that ye might remember and do all my Torah instruction and be righteous unto your Yahweh. And I just want to say, since I start wearing my fringes and you know, having fringes on when I go out and stuff, that even, you know, people, they'll stop their cars in the street and say, oh, you got on fringes. They recognize, like the CEO said, they'll recognize you when you start wearing your fringes. and they'll recognize that you are, you know, I guess, different from the rest because you stand out because you got your fringes on. And I just want to say hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Excellent. You see that, see, right? So listen, see, what we bring to the table, see, you want the Almighty to intervene with you. You want him to get in on your concern. But he, and he telling you, okay, you want me to get in on your concern. The world is doing you in. You see why they're doing you in. I gave you a dress code. I gave you a dress code, and from even know, I gave you a Sabbath day, a feast day. And I also told you one thing. Get in where you fit in. Make your body a living sacrifice. One mind, one understanding, no excusing anybody. Then Yahweh going to intervene with you. Then we're going to get something going on. Because see, once Yahweh see you doing his will, he ain't got no interpreter come in. He said, they doing my will, right? Here I come. Keep that in your mind, see, right? You know, we going, and like I say, the most important part of this broadcast, for my mind concerned, is when the mothers address you and tell you that, listen, it's up to you to come and see what the Bible's saying. We got six locations. You got to make your body a living sacrifice. Come see what this Bible's saying hands-on. We'll tell you in 7:3:17 of the book of Psalms. David, the big king of Israel forever when he once he raised back up, he said, till I got to the temple. That's when I understood. So you keep on following around and think you can do this solo on your own. You lose. I will leave it like this. We're going to find another mother. And it's the most exciting part of the broadcast to me. When you bring the mothers in, the mothers tell you straight up. And they spirit is the same way. Today, yesterday, and ever since I can remember. And that's a great thing, C. Ray. See, we're here to help you. You just got to understand. Put the world down and come on get your help. When you meet the mothers out of Cal 1 with a loud voice, you said, Mother E, tribe of Yahweh Judah. Yahweh bless you, see right.
Yahweh bless you, see Israel, for see you are. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, Mother E. Now, Mother E, now, the big dignitary, he spoke good. And he said, well, we know his name is the four letters. We know it. But if they want to be ignorant, let them be ignorant. But we know the powers to be. But we clear. We know that when they call on them four letters, my records tell me that they won all the battles. But now they call on Elohim, Lord, and Jesus, and everybody else. So I think God's going to fix it, see? And that's why they can't win Jack. But that's me talking. But what you got to tell this national audience, and they still trying to get into the room, you on the clock, come out.
I would just like to add a little to what Mother V said. Because when I first started wearing the fringes, I was going out one day, and I didn't have fringes on. I had fear. So ever since then, when I go out, I have my fringes on. Because that fear come over me. Because I was going out and didn't have fringes on. But since then, I don't worry because I know when I go out, I'm going to have some fringes on. And I'm going to read a prayer of David in Psalm 54. And it says, save me, O Yahweh, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O Yahweh. Give ear to my word of my mouth. For strangers are rising up against me and oppressed the seekers after my soul. They have not set Yahweh before them. Behold, Yahweh is my helper. Yahweh is with them that uphold my soul. Verse 5, he shall reward evil unto my enemies, cut them off in their truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Yahweh, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eyes have seen his desire upon my enemies. So I would just like to say that David was calling upon the name of Yahweh, and Yahweh heard him because he was using the name. He wasn't using all these other names that we have. He was using the name of Yahweh, and Yahweh heard David. And this is written for our learning, that we may stand how we should pray and how, what we should pray for. And so this is telling us that David prayed to Yahweh for help. So that's what we got to do. We got to pray to Yahweh for help, because we can't pray to these false Yahwehs and think we're going to get help. And we got to use the name, because he said, use his name. And that's what we have to do, use his name. And when we pray to Yahweh, we got to be pray honestly and sincere. And we got to be doing the thing that Yahweh would have us do, keeping these Torah instructions and these commandments, and pray to him, because he helps if we do that and use the name. And remember that when we pray, we don't pray for evil to come on people, that we pray for Yahweh to help us. And that's where our help comes from. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Excellent. That's Mother. Hey, Travel Yacht God Judith. See, this is the part of the most exciting part of the broadcast, is when the mothers just tell you flat out. Because bottom line is, listen, you remember telling you, and see in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, it tell you, ask the elders. And it tell you the elders is men and women. So we got the mothers that's going to tell you what time it is. So we close the broadcast on. It's just up to you to put down that puffed up spirit and see if anything we're saying that we didn't read. And once you do the investigation, you read it for yourself, go with it. And then the blessing will be coming when you be able to help others. And when you got them branches on, remember, when you go out, you feel naked if you don't have them. Because one thing about it, Yahweh has told you plainly, the blessing is over you with the fringes on. So how would you leave home without them? You're supposed to have something on with fringes on. At the bottom of your jacket, fringes. Huh? The bottom of your dress, fringes. Some, you're supposed to have some fringes on it. Now, if you got that, you have, according to him, when you call on me, you're going to need me sooner or later, Dottie's saying. And I'm going to look down and see what you want. You got them fringes on? I'm going to say, oh, okay. Yeah, that must be my sons and daughters. They recognize that what I told them, they're doing it. So what taking you so long, Mr. Spirit? Get on down there and straighten them up. See, that's how it happens, see, right? Because, see, one thing about it, let me tell you something. I want to say this for you one more time. When we lost our identity, all 12 tribes, the world know one thing, you had a calling card. Your calling card was the fringes, and you understood that your name at the end of was Israel. And you just heard the big dignitary in the beginning of the tape saying, soundly, that us Jewish peoples, we can't pronounce the name like the children of Israel. We don't know it. That's why we call them Yahweh. But remember, you know the one in the land? They say they Jewish people. But here come they big dignitary just blowing around the water and saying, no, us Jewish people, we don't know how to pronounce the name. So we're going to have Brother Oshia to put that slot in on this broadcast. That's big news that you got to hear from somebody else. You won't hear from Six and Morning County. But they'll tell you. Us Jewish peoples, we can't pronounce the four letters like the children of Israel can. Isn't that a separation, C-Ray? Well, we're going to find one more mother out of Camp 1. And it's from DF Israel. All the three mothers out of Camp 1, they'll give you up the facts on whatever it is. They'll meet you straight up and give you honest answer according to thus says Yahweh. It's up to you. Become humble, it's up to you to get in where you fit in. When you meet the mothers out of Camp 1, loud voice, you say, Mother D.F. Israel, tribe of Yahweh Judah, call and all, Yahweh B.J.S.C. Ray.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of C. Royal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So how's that cold coming along now, Mother D.F. Israel?
It's getting better.
All right. That's a great thing. And the national audience, they heard a lot today. But like I said, the greatest part of the broadcast on my end is seeing when the mothers got to say something to this national audience. And because we know one thing, you won't call it the way it is. And you know untruth in you. None of them mothers. Mm-hmm. When you got to tell the national audience, take your time there, Mother D.F. Israel. You on the clock. Come up.
Well, I had an interesting conversation maybe about an hour ago. And the subject came up about the Quran. And asked me, what I think about that. And they was talking about the King James book contradicts itself. And so I was saying, whatever the subject is, and I can read it, and you have two or three witnesses, then that's what I'm going with. And it don't say nothing about the Quran. This the King James Bible, you go with that, not the Quran. So they were saying, well, it's other books. You know, they take things out of King James. I see, yeah, I know that. But if I can read, that's what I'm gonna go with in the King James. And I saw as well, it's 66. It's other books that they took out of there as well. So they're saying, well, how you know if that's for real? I said, because in the Word, in different chapters, it tells you what books that you can go and read connected with this, because they took out those other books out of the King James Bible. So I'm trying not to make it too long. So anyway, I was saying that the Quran people, I asked them, who is Quran? Who is that? So they couldn't, you know, really go into it. So I said, that's come from Ishmael. That's the Quran, man. And the covenant was given to Isaac. And in Genesis 17, I'm going to read the end of 16 where Yahweh is talking in verse 16, and it says, I will bless her, Sarah, and give you a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall come out of her. Verse 18. And Abraham said unto Yahweh, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Verses 19. And Yahweh said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. Verse 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall be begotten, and I will make him a great nation. Verse 21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto you at this set time in the next year. 22. And he left off talking with him, and Yahweh went up from Abraham. So it's not in the Quran, man. It's in Israel. Israel. We came through, the covenant came through Isaac. And Isaac got Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. So he didn't give it to the other nations. So this is what I tried to, but the time had ran out. So I'm searching, and I got all the information. While the program was going on, I was, you know, still had that on my mind as well. So I thank Yahweh that he give me the understanding, and that I can pass it on, you know, whether he accept it or he don't accept it. But this is the truth, and this is what I believe. Every word that Yahweh said, this is what I believe. And then he was saying about, it ain't no righteous man. I said, that's who the word was sent down through, the righteous man. And Abraham, Isaac, our fathers in Israel, and Moses, you know, he got righteous men, you know, and they are seers, you know. So Moses, Abraham wrote some books, and Moses wrote books. So this is what we have to go by. These are righteous men. So this is what I go by. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, you know, I like hearing stuff like that. And I like seeing stuff like that, but like I said again, don't never try to win the Bump the Gong contest.
Right.
Remember, wherever they at, that's where you meet them at. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And we know that we meet them wherever they at. Now, pretty interesting things on the table. So let's see if we cover all three of them in this one set. So now, Mother Z talked about the friends. So now, let's see if we hit all three points that we just heard. Mother Z talked about the fringes. Mother E, let's go to 22 verse 5 and 12. Let's talk about the fringes.
Let's go to Deuteronomy 22, verse 5 and verse 12. Let's go to Deuteronomy's mother. We're going to the 22nd chapter, verse 5 and 12. Let me see what it says about what Moses did say. She made a statement, and you made a statement, and Mother D.F. Israel made a statement. Let's see if we cover a little bit of what we just got through then. Let's take the fringes thing first. 22 verse 5 and 12 says what? Mother. Hey, you on the clock. Come on. I'll do the Romans.
Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, verses 5 and verse 12. Deuteronomy, chapter 22, verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Yahweh, your Yahweh. Verse 12. Thus shall make the fringes upon the four quarters of their vestments, wherewith thus cover ourselves.
So the Almighty told Moses, tell the children of Israel, put some fringes on, but make sure they you cover yourself well. So that's what he said.
Right.
He said, the woman should not be wearing what pertains to a man. What pertains to a man is breeches, pants. So a woman should not be wearing no pants at no time. She wear fringes on. And that was the Almighty has said. And that's one point. Now let's take care of another point there, Mother. Let's run to Psalm 55, verse 16. Let's see, can we take care of a couple of things in this setting right here? Let's go to Psalms chapter 55, verse 16. Yeah, Psalm 55, 16.
Okay. The book of Psalms, chapter 55, verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
Psalms chapter 55, verse 16. As for me, I will call upon Yahweh, and the Yahweh shall save me.
Yeah. So that was Mother talking about. So Mother Eve was talking about. See, that's why she called her name. Because that name, it do what again? What do that name do when you call that name again? According to 55:16. What do that name do, Mother Eve?
Yahweh shall save me.
Right, that's right. The name saved you. So there's a destiny right. The name saved you. Let's get on 68 verse 11 and close the thing. Psalm 68 verse 11, Mother. And let's get a closing statement in Psalm 68 verse 11. And Mother D.F. Israel, find your book, the book called Jasper. And we look at verse 23, 40 down to 48. So you can get that book of Jasper, chapter 23, verse 40 to 48. Had that waiting on me, Mother D.F. Israel. But look what it says in 68, verse 11, that Mother E. Psalm 68, 11.
Psalm chapter 68, verse 11. Yahweh give the word. Great was the covenant of those that published it.
You see that? So Yahweh didn't want to get his word. The four letters get a word. So it's great if you publish this. So there is right there. So you great if you publish this. There is right there. Mother E, close the statement, you're on the clock. Excellent again, come on.
I'll read Psalms 126. When the Yahweh turned again the captives of Jabin Judah, we are like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the nations, the Yahweh do great things for them. The Yahweh has done great things for us. Wherefore we are glad. Turn again our captive, O Yahweh, as the stream in this south. Verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weep, bearing precious seed, shall double come again with rejoicing, bringing his self with him, Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Excellent. That's Mother Eve, one of the mothers out of Camp 1. So see, so we find out that that when statements are made, you going to tell me, yeah, that sounds real great, but I'm going to be able to read all that. So Mother D. of Israel, that was excellent. Can I get, let's see, when you get 2 Peter 1:19 through 21, then go to your book of Jasper. Let's see, can what they said can hold up when you put some Bible on it. 2 Peter 1:19-21, and then we're going to that book of Jasper, and we'll wrap it up from right there. Come on. 2 Peter 1, Mother D. of Israel, 2 Peter 1:19, down to verse 21, you on the clock, come up.
We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your mind. 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but righteous men of Yahuwah spake as they were moved by the righteous spirit.
Yeah, I can get that.
Is that right?
You read right? Excellent. So we found out they said that the word was given to righteous man. That means Torah keepers, as they were moved by that spirit. So that's how the word was said down to them. Righteous man received this word as the righteous spirit moved them to write down what they had to say. So that's how it happened. 2 Peter 1, verse 19 through 21. That's how it happened. So that's how it happened. Right. So you put that verse on them right there. Now what do you got to say about old Ishmael in the closing statement? Jasper, chapter 23, verse 40 to 40, 48 in the closing statement. Let's find out what's going on here.
Okay, let me see, can I... Chapter
23. Mm-hmm. Verse 49 to verse 48. Let's find out, Mike, because you made two statements. Well, who wrote what? Ain't nobody righteous, but we just find out that's not true. We just said it. We read it right, and that is so. Now we read about Ishmael. What about the Quran, man? So they mentioned about Ishmael. Let's talk about it. What happened with Ishmael that we can read. Chapter 23, 40 to 48. Come on.
40 to 48?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Jasper, chapter 23, verses 40. And Abraham went with Isaac towards the place that Yahweh had told him. 41. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place at a distance which Yahweh had told him of. 42. And a pillar of fire appeared to him that reached from the earth to heaven, and a cloud of honor up on the mountain, greatness upon the mountain, and the greatness of Yahuwah was seen in the cloud. 43. And Abraham said to Isaac, my son, do thou see in that mountain which we perceive at a distance, that which I see upon it? And 44. And Isaac answered and said unto him, father, I see, and lo, a pillar of fire and a cloud, and the honor of Yahuwah is seen upon the cloud, the greatness. 45. And Abraham knew that his son Isaac was accepted before Yahuwah for a burnt offering. 46. And Abraham said unto Eliezer and unto Ishmael, his son, do you also see that which we see upon the mountain, which is at a distance? 47. And they answered and said, we see nothing more than like the other mountains of the earth. And Abraham knew that they were not accepted before Yahuwah to go with them. And Abraham said to them, abide you here with the ass, while I and Isaac my son will go to yonder mountain and worship there before Yahuwah, and then return to you. 48. And Eleazar and Ishmael remained in that place as Abraham had commanded.
Psalms 25:14.
The secrets of Yahuwah is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Hallelujah, Qua. Hallelujah, Qua. Hallelujah, Qua.
Mother E, Mother Z. Catch you all tomorrow. Listen to this on my answer machine.
So it was important to know who your God was so that the sacrifice went to the right place. And it's also telling because by knowing the name of the God, oh, this is really fun. By knowing the name of the God, it says something about the relationship between the community and the God or the power that is in relationship with that community. What does it say? It says that there was more equality in the relationship than there would be if you had a relationship with a God whose name you didn't know. What does that mean? The psychology of knowing the name. You know, have you ever been to a party and somebody knows your name and you don't know their name and you feel very much at a disadvantage? Yeah. Or you're dumb enough to walk down the street with a cap and your name on it. Somebody you didn't know, like what happened to me when I was being nerdy. I mean, I got over it, right? The nerdy part, I think. I walked down the street and somebody said, hey, Ruvain. Oh, and I don't know who the guy was. He was bigger than me, and he made fun of me because I had a name on my cap, and I felt really stupid because he had a certain power over me because he knew my name. I didn't know his name. There is a sense of relationship and connection of knowing names and knowing identification. In many cultures, baby children are not named until after they become viable. So that's so that the angel of death or the evil powers may not get them. So there is a sense of knowing names. The name of the God of Israel was made of four letters that we do not know how to pronounce in the Jewish world. Some Christian communities pronounce it Yahweh, right, or Jehovah. But what that really is talking about, what that is conveying, is that in the ancient world, the Israelites knew the name of their God,
just like the Moabites and the Ammonites knew the names for their gods. But when at some point in history, the Israelites made a transition from a polytheistic relationship with a limited God to a sense of a universal, all-powerful, all-knowing God, it was impossible, it was inconceivable that they should know the name. You know, we don't know the name of God in the Islamic tradition either. It's just Allah simply means the God. It's not Frank, not Jim, not Penelope, right? So that seems to be indicative of that change. Now, if you don't believe me, and it's okay if you're not believe me, it's okay for you to believe me. I'm continuing on this motif earlier. Let's turn to the next item on page 2. Second Kings. I'm just going to read you the first couple of verses here. This is a statement about the reforms that were made by a king named Josiah. He destroyed all of the idols that were being worshipped in Jerusalem by the Israelites because he was a real staunch supporter of monotheism. Then the king ordered the high priest, Hilkiah, the priest of the second rank and the guards of the threshold, to bring out of the temple of the Lord, this is yet, all of the objects made from Baal and Asherah. These were gods, it was a god and a goddess. And all the hosts of heaven, he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kedar.